Happy Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving to all of you. Didn't hurt your hand anymore? Good. Is it recording? Okay. If I can sit in the front porch with a God, with a couple glasses of tall iced tea, in the late afternoon, I might be able to ask him a mile-long list of questions that mind-boggling questions that are from the Bible or the things in the wall, around the wall. One at the top of the list would be something like this. God, I have a question to ask you. Why do you love your children? Why do you tolerate us? You give us every breath we breathe. But do we thank you? And you give us bodies that without a single duplication, do we praise you? Probably God will kind of look at me like a, with that look, it's like a pathetic thing. But he will answer me with a simple answer. Since he's a man with a few words, he will say, seldom. Then I'll continue to say these things. We complain about weather. We argue over which party should get in, win the election, or which college football team should go to Rose Bowl. Or somewhere, there's not a 1 second past, somewhere someone was hammer that thumb and curse your name, and curse that thumb or the hammer, and they will curse, use your name in as a curse word when umpire make a bad call. No matter what the problem is, and it sounds like you are the one who caused the problem. And you fill the world with food, but we blame you for hunger. And you give us beautiful weather, well, we complain. If there is too much sun, we complain. If there is not enough rain, in our opinion, we complain. No matter what you do, somehow you cannot please us. Why is that? As if our opinion matters. We give more applause for the messed-up actors in Hollywood than we give a credit to you. We acknowledge NASA space engineers, space scientists, more than the one who created the entire universe, holding the entire universe in the palm of his hand. We pollute the world you loan us. We mistreat the body you gave to us. And we ignore the word you sent us, and we killed you when you became a man. You have every reason to abandon us, but you don't. How often do we thank you? Obviously not enough. Why do you still love us? I don't think God will answer my dumb question, but he will look at me with a twinkle in his eyes, with a gentle smile on his lips, because he loves beyond our comprehension. This morning, I would like to draw your attention to the three different characters. Number one would be Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Second one would be King David in 1 Kings chapter 17. And the one unnamed leper from Gospel. I'd like to point them out to you, those three peoples, because they were answered by God, yes, no, and yes, and they act differently. Let's start with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to your presence, giving you thanks, belated thanks, overdue thanks. Much gratitude, much appreciation. Lord, we come to you again, come to you with a thankful heart, remind us that we are living in a life that you loan us, the time you loan us, the breath you give to us. Everything is, every good and perfect comes from Father, and Father above. So we thank you and praise you, we adore you for what you have done for us and what you will do for us. But ultimately for your own glory. Open our heart to receive this word that you have given to us, that we may learn from it and be more thankful to you every day of our lives. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go to verse 8 of 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel is located in the Old Testament between Ruth and 2 Samuel. Verse 8. Then Elkanah, her husband that is the husband of Hannah, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than the 10 sons? So Hannah arose after they had finished the eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now the Eli, the priest, was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord that wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, that if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the day of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. And it happened that as she continued praying before the Lord, Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine or no intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace. The God of Israel grant you a petition which you have asked of him. And she said, let your maidservant find a favor in your sight. Underline next phrase for me, please. So the woman went her way and ate. Her face was no longer sad. Let's go down to the verse 24. Now, when she had weaned him, she already had a baby Samuel, and she weaned him, she took him up to with her with the three bulls, one ephod of flour, skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as your soul lived, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord for this child. I pray, and the Lord has granted me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lived, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worshiped the Lord there. Hannah's day was marked with sorrow because she was barren. During the time, any woman who is barren is more like she's the one who cursed. To insult and injury, she found that this another wife of Elkanah, her husband, tormenting her with comments such as that you don't have a child, but I do. And she was tormenting this woman, Hannah, day in, day out. Her husband's voice is a typical husband's voice that would be like a fix-all. We have a tendency as a husband, well, there's a problem. Let me come and fix everything for you. A lot of times, wives don't care for the husband to fix something, but just be there, be simply understanding. So guys, take a hint from here. This is not a good way to do it. Hannah did the right things. Instead of going to her husband who cannot understand her intimately, but rather she went to God who understands him. She poured her heart to the Lord and she lowered her cry and answered through the priest Eli. Now, why is that? She took the word from the priest Eli that God spoke through him at the face value and she went home. Let's go back to verse 18. So the woman went her way until now she didn't eat, she ate, and her face was no longer set. Bless you. Somehow she completely changed her attitude and she literally accepted the word coming from God to her. And she didn't doubt about it. She didn't say, well, what if God changed his mind? Folks, as I said before, when the what if of our doubt comes in, our faith goes out. They cannot coexist. What did she do for God's answer for her prayer when she had a child? But by the way, before we go there, when she was thinking about, and when she heard Eli's word, did she see some writing on the wall? Did she feel anything in her womb? No, nothing happened. She simply took the word, God's word, into her heart. That's the faith. Once she received a blessing from the Lord, child, she took him back to the Lord and as a priest. Now, did you notice that no razor will touch his head? Of course, that's a Nazarene vow. Why did she, how could she be so bold in taking the word of God as is? Is it because of what Eli said, or is it because of Eli's reputation? From what we read, if you know anything about this 1 Samuel, and you will find in chapter 3 and 4, you'll find that Eli is a pathetic priest. Especially his two sons is a rotten, corrupted priest. So the reputation of Eli is less than the dirt. But she took the word because she knew that it was coming from God. Let's move down. Let's go to the Psalm 121. Psalm 121. A couple of chapter after the longest chapter in the Bible. Many times the Lord spoke to me through this particular chapter. So we'll just simply read the whole chapter and we'll take it from there. Psalm 121. This is one of the chapters I refer to the many people, those who are going through a difficult time. I will lift my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not strike you, shall not strike you by day, nor moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. So where does the help, our help comes from? It's none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. So what are we supposed to do for that kind of gracious action? We should have a thankful heart. So without believing in the faithfulness of God's attribute, we literally don't have a prayer. Without believing the faithfulness of God's attribute, we literally don't have a prayer. How can we pray to God when we don't believe God's faithfulness? We cannot. Let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 17. I said 1 Kings. That was wrong. 1 Chronicles 17. King David was doing well, and he had his house built in more like a palace. And he is in his palace and enjoying his luxury that came from God. But he's looking across the courtyard, and there is a tabernacle still in tent. And this is the conversation how it goes. Verse 1 of chapter 17 and 1 Chronicles. Now it came to pass when David was dwelling in his house that David said to Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in the house of cedar, but the ark of covenant of the Lord is under tent curtains." Then Nathan said to David, "Do all that is in your heart, for God is with you." Nathan the prophet is agreeing with him, and so that he may go out and build a palace for build a special temple for God. But verse 3, it happened that night the word of God came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, that you shall not build me a house to dwell in, for I have not dwelt in a house since the time that I brought up Israel, even to this day, but have gone from the tent to tent, and from the one tabernacle to another. Wherever I have moved about with all Israel, have I ever spoken a word to any of the judges of Israel whom I commanded to shepherd my people, saying, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?'" Let's move down to verse 10. "Since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, also I will subdue all your enemies. Furthermore, I tell you that the Lord will build you a house." Verse 11, "And it shall be that when your days are fulfilled, and when you must go to be with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you. You shall be of your sons, and I will establish you his kingdom. He shall build me a house, and I will establish his throne forever." As God was leading King David to all the campaigns, there was not a nation could withstand against the King David. Now, however, he was so in tune with the Spirit of living God that he was known as a man after God's own heart. What a compliment for any human to receive that kind of thing. But was he perfect by any means? No. Although David had a close relationship with God, God told him, "No, you will not build a temple for me." Why is that? In another place we find out that because this man shed too much blood during the battle. Not only that, we all know that he had a problem, he had adultery with Bathsheba. Speaking of Bathsheba, it was really done to me. I taught this before, and when we studied 2 Samuel. Remember, King David had one wife, Michal, right? Saul's daughter. And after that, whom did he get? Somebody else, Abigail. Okay, Michal was pretty much not touchable because Saul pretty much gave her to somebody else. So I can understand he went with Abigail. He should settle with Abigail, do not go after anyone else. But he went after somebody else, and somebody else, and somebody else. Because he didn't control the passion, eventually he wound up in the arms of Bathsheba. Because he didn't control passion. Folks, our sin starts with the small things, and it continues to roll from the top of the mountain as the avalanche starts. When the avalanche starts, it's nothing more than a small handful of snowball and end up becoming mowing down the entire village when it comes down to the bottom of the mountain. That's the effect of sin. So if we have a sin that is already starting with the size of snowball, we must stop it now before it becomes avalanche. If there is any project that King David wanted to do in his life, if he had to choose one project, that would be the building a tabernacle, building a temple for God Almighty, whom he loves to dwell with. We need to take, you know, from the surface, everything might be good. King the prophet Nathan said, well, if that's what is in your heart, go for a king. But we need to take everything to the Lord in prayer, and no matter how good it sounds on the surface. We cannot just assume that because I decided to do this, that doesn't mean God is with us. What a disappointment must be for the king who wanted to do something for God, because God did so much for him. But this is how the King David reacted. Before we go there, we must understand one thing. Let's go back to verse 11. And it shall be when your days are fulfilled and you must go to be with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will be of your sons, and I will establish his kingdom. King David asked for desire to build the temple for God, but God has something better. When even though God says no at this point, he had something better for him in the future. We don't know when God says no, that we don't know why he says no, but we do know that he has the best things for us. King David wanted to build something for God, but God chose to build something for King David. Using the King David's lineage to building the Messiah lineage that comes to Jesus Christ. Let's go to Revelation chapter 22, verse 16. God said he will establish the kingdom and that will last forever. Here he is, Revelation 22, verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angels to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, King David, the bright and morning star. God will establish his kingdom through lineage of King David. Instead of complaining for what we don't have, Instead of complaining for what he could not have, King David was thankful to the Lord for what was God was going to do in the future. Let's go to verse 16 of 2 Chronicles, 1 Chronicles verse 7, chapter 17. Verse 16. Now after he heard from Nathan, this is what David did. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that you have brought me this far? And yet, this was a small thing in your sight, O God, and you have also spoken of your servant's house for the great while to come, and have regarded me according to the rank of a man of a high degree, O Lord God. We need to remember that when God closes one door, he opens another door. Usually, it's better than one he closed. As we become sensitive to the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, we learn to accept what he wants as what we want. Because we know that God would not give us anything less than the best. Let's go for another character in Luke chapter 17, verse 11. Luke 17, verse 11. Now it happened as he went, that is Jesus, went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him the 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, Go, show yourself to the priest. So it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice and glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him what? Thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So the Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, Arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. Jesus asked, Were there not 10 cleansed? Recent census, when I checked, it was 6.4 billion people lives on the earth. 6.4 billion people. How many people would give glory to God and would give thanks to God in regular basis? If I can guess, it would be less than 10 out of 100. The majority of people do not give thanks to God. Majority of people are actually against God. This is the side note. I did a benediction for the Pima County Sheriff's Department Training Academy graduation. And I just found out that a couple of days ago, they no longer want me to do the benediction. I was wondering, I know why, because they are so afraid of state separation of church and state, which is nothing more than garbage from the liberal. Anyway, even though during the difficult time they seek God, during the good time, they don't want God. They rather think that it has anything to do with them when it's not. In my opinion, I won't be surprised if there is a 1 out of 10,000 people give thanks to God in regular basis. We don't realize that we are literally living on God's mercy. If God says you are no more, our existence, very existence, will be stopped. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. Colossians is located right after Philippians, right before the first Thessalonians. Colossians 1, 17. And he, that is Jesus Christ, is before all things. In him, all things consist. If you have a different Bible, then especially NIV, which I think, in my opinion, better translation for this particular one, better rendition, I should say, is held together. Held together. In other words, the molecule we have in our body and the cells and all this DNA, all of that, can be this unglued from each other. If God says you are not existing anymore, our body will be literally gone at no time. God is the one who holding us together, and God is the one who is holding the entire universe together. But we don't realize that. We think we are somebody special. Now, we need to be thankful to God for something we cannot lose. When we express our gratitude to God, it's easy to emphasize material prosperity. Let's think about it. Of course, the next few days, not only today, for the rest of the week and sometime in the first part of the week, we're going to eat the leftover food from today, right? That's great, and as we all heard, We Americans don't realize how rich we are until we go to some other country where the third country that they literally don't have a food. So when we give thanks to God, it's most cases prosperity, related with the prosperity, food that we have on the table. But if somehow God let it happen, God choose to allow us to go through a difficult time, if we don't have a job, guess what? Within a month, you won't have anything on your table to eat. And some people with a prime health condition, they say, well, I'm in good health, so I'm thankful to God. But how often the life is blown away at because either heart attack or brain aneurysm or whatever, or simply he get in the airplane crash. We never know how long we're going to live. What about the different approach? Something we cannot lose. Why don't we be thankful for something we cannot lose? Life can be gone, health can be gone, the prosperity monetary can be gone at no time. I heard this story from somebody that obviously that person knows what he's talking about. Majority of American people cannot survive more than 3 months if there's no more income coming in. I don't think I can survive more than three months, not even 3 months. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Romans 8, 35. Nothing wrong with giving thanks to God for the family and food and friends and the good health, but let's be thankful to the Lord for something we cannot lose no matter what. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress and persecution, or famine or the nakedness, or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as a sheep for slaughter. Yet in all things we are more than a conqueror through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principality, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can take us out of God's love. Remember how I started? Why do you love us? We can never understand. Because we had a finite wisdom. We had a limited intelligence, but with his infinite intelligence, with the infinite wisdom, God loves us. In spite of who we are, he loves us. This Romans 8, 35 to 39 is a great place for us to park our thought and remember the love of God is inseparable from us. So, if we can remember this, let's remember this. God's love is unfailing. God's love is unceasing. God's love is unchanging. And God's love is unconquerable. What believers cannot lose? Number one, eternal life. John 10:28. What believers cannot lose? God's forgiveness. 1 John 1:9. The believers cannot lose God's presence. Hebrews 13:5. You remember that one? I will never leave you nor forsake you. And access to the Lord through prayer. Hebrews 4:15-16. It doesn't matter where you are, where I am, and whatever the situation we are in, we can say, God, He is there. It doesn't matter where we go. Our Holy Spirit lives in us. He's with us. I'm sure you heard a phrase that American Express, don't leave home without it. You cannot live. You cannot go anywhere without Holy Spirit if you are the believers of Jesus Christ. Let's make an application. Number one. Without believing in God's faithfulness in prayer, we literally don't have a prayer. That's not right. We should not have a prayer there. Without believing in God's faithfulness, we literally don't have a prayer. Second, as a follower of Jesus Christ, we need to take everything to the Lord in prayer, no matter how good it sounds on the surface. It might sound good, it might sound so godly, but is that what God wants? Take everything to the Lord. Let's make a habit of giving thanks to our God for everything, whether we like the result or not. If God didn't allow the bad things, it wouldn't happen. When bad things happen, God allowed it. In His infinite wisdom, He allowed it to happen to us so we can learn from it. I know some of you are going to flip out. This knife. To sharpen this knife, I have to use something sharper, something stronger than this metal. If I use chalk to sharpen this knife, it never works. Why? Because that thing is not as strong as this metal. So I have to use a stone or some other object that is stronger than this to sharpen it. When I sharpen it, what I'm literally doing is I'm literally brushing away the metal portion to make the sharp edge. God cannot use us as we are because we are dull. We have too much garbage in our material. To make us to be sharp and edged, to be used by God, He has to use something stronger than us to buffet us. As we become sensitive to the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, we learn to accept what He wants as what we want, because we know that God would not give to us anything less than the best. Let's be thankful to God's love that is unfailing, unceasing, unchanging, and unconquerable. That you cannot lose. So go home to that place where your food is waiting, but before you have that food, remember the love of God that is unchanging, unceasing, unfailing, unconquerable. We are blessed. Let's stand up and give thanks to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the word we receive. Let us be reminded by Your power, by Your Holy Spirit. We are Yours, and we will follow You the rest of our lives to bring glory to You, to magnify You. Receive our adoration, receive our gratitude, receive our appreciation, receive our thankful heart. Not just today, rest of our lives. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.